I want to start today by reading where we've been working in our series on prayer. So this is Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to read what Jesus says about prayer. You know this, but it lays the foundation of what we're going to be talking about today and thinking about. Chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many, many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That was part of the Sermon on the Mount. In a long list of titled paragraphs of giving to the needy, fasting, treasures in heaven, don't worry, all those things that we know that Jesus talked about, and he talked about prayer. I want to tell you a horrible story. Okay, this is horrible. My dad was a Baptist pastor. Okay, so when we moved to a place, everybody at school knew that I was the Baptist pastor's daughter. So we moved when I was in kindergarten, about halfway through, and then came up to grade one. And the first day of grade one, and I'm telling you this story because I'm scarred. The first day of grade one, the teacher says, Laurelyn, you're the pastor's daughter. Could you lead us in the Lord's Prayer? Grade one, what is that? I was still five. Because my birthday's in December, right? So I was 5 years old. Can you imagine? Okay, so here, let's read that a little bit clearer there. I was the Baptist pastor's daughter. My parents never told me. I would have known at 5 years old, that there was a Lord's Prayer. I had no clue. Okay? Isn't that the worst story? So I went up and went, I didn't know. Now, I can't remember the rest. I could have jumped into a huge prayer or something. I might have, because we prayed all the time in our house. We prayed for every meal. We prayed for all our relatives. We prayed and prayed and prayed. I knew how to pray. I didn't know there was a specific one that they called the Lord's Prayer. I'd miss that. So anyways, scarred. And I've always kind of, when I look at the Lord's Prayer, I go, should have maybe known that. I have worse stories, but that was just a horrible one. Do you like that? I was totally and awfully embarrassed. See what my parents missed. I was number seven, so there's an excuse there too, right? But maybe all my siblings knew the Lord's Prayer. But in our tradition, prayer was not a set of words that you say over and over again. It had nothing to do with that. It was foreign. I know in lots of traditions, there's the Lord's Prayer, and what you do is you say it when you get up, but when you go to bed, like there's that kind of idea of it. And then there's people that actually say the Lord's Prayer just because it's called the Lord's Prayer and it's that tradition. But it wasn't part of our household. Now, Jesus taught about prayer, just as I read. But mostly, like my parents, I think, Jesus taught about prayer by praying. And this prayer that I just read, it's the Jesus Prayer. And I probably should have learned it before grade one, but it turns out to be the great outline. It's the prayer, I could challenge you on this too, a little bit, think on it. It's the prayer that almost every, or I could say every prayer that a Christian prays fits into. It's the categories. It's a simple prayer. It's clear. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus praying, Father in heaven, thank you for revealing yourself, your holy, hallowed self, to little children. That was the prayer we looked at. And in the prayer we're going to look at today, which we kind of glanced at last week a little bit, which is recorded three times in the Gospels, we hear the echo of two phrases. Jesus tells the disciples to pray that they will not fall into temptation, and the other one, your will be done. Both of them, you can hear the echo from the Lord's Prayer. Now, on Wednesday, I have to tell you, you're going to be a little jealous, okay? I've got this group of people that, brilliant people, I might add. How's that? The ones laughing are the ones who attend. No, they're wonderfully helpful. And we wondered together about parts of this passage that I'm going to read in a minute. Specifically, I asked them, because I was a little confused, when Jesus says, pray that you won't fall into temptation, the question came, what is he talking about? What temptation? Isn't that a good question? So we came up with some answers, maybe. Was it so that Peter wouldn't deny him? Is that the temptation he is saying to pray about? Or maybe that they'd stay awake? That's in there too? Or maybe that they wouldn't run away? Or was it more of a general prayer? We tossed those around, and do you remember what we came up with? Yes, you do, because we did not come up with an answer. We went, that's really hard. I don't know, so sorry. If you want to know, or if God tells you, or you read it somewhere, come Wednesday at 1:30. This is an advertisement, and we'd love to have some more help, wouldn't we, with those hard passages like that? It's true, and we worked hard. So that's not what this is about. I'm going to read three passages. We're going to start with Matthew 26. They're all the same and all different. And I just want you to get the expanse of these three pictures, these three memories, these three versions of the same event. It starts Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 36. Then Jesus went out with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it. May your will be done. That's how he said that. Then he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And then Mark chapter 14, verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. Then he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And then to Luke 22. This is kind of the same as reading it over and over. I hope you hear something different and clearer each time I read. This is Jesus' praise on the Mount of Olives, verse 39 in Luke chapter 22. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." There we have three versions of the same story. Now there's some things that overlap completely, right? What do we got? What do we have in all three stories? Sleeping. I know. This is a real hard one, isn't it? Sleeping disciples. We got that? We have him praying according to God's will. It's in everyone, right? We have a man who is suffering, who is in anguish. What vivid pictures, eh? Sweating drops of blood. It's in all, well, that part's not in all, but in all of them, he's struggling. He's in anguish. Now, this is not necessarily the Jesus we're used to. The calm leader, the guy sleeping, there's the sleeping part again, sleeping in a boat. He always had an answer for the religious leaders, didn't he? He kind of had it together. This group of people followed him because of his togetherness, because of his strength. He was a great storyteller at parties. But now we come to a Jesus sweating drops of blood. N.T. Wright notes this must have really impacted the disciples. He uses the illustration of a little girl who only knows her dad as the one who, for as long back as she can remember, he was the happy one. And he would pick her up in his arms, and there's nothing that could faze him. He was strong. He was brave. He was everything she needed. He was so confident and happy. And then one day, the story goes, Dad came flying through the door, up the stairs and into his room, and the little girl heard deep weeping. Now, she had never heard that from her dad before. His sister had died. This daughter had only seen him strong and happy. And then for the first time, and she only notices it when she looks back, for the first time, that was the time she realized her dad was human. This story, more than any other, assures us that there is nothing that we can go through that Jesus doesn't understand. He has been there. As his followers looked back, they remembered this time when their master walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And what else did they remember about that story? They remembered that they failed him, that at the darkest time in his whole life, the people that loved him the absolute most fell asleep. None of them forgot it, did they? It was his darkest hour. They were his best friends. And they had left him alone. Alone. But not. In John chapter 16:32, Jesus told his friend just hours before in the Last Supper. He said, "But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each going to his own way, leaving me alone." He didn't say, "You jerks, you're all going to leave me alone." That wasn't what he said. Do you know what he said? He said, "It's okay. I am not alone because the Father is with me." That's what he said. Even though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, God was with him. And they talked. Now, we only hear the words from one side of the conversation, like in most prayer. But prayer is conversation. And one side, what God the Father said, isn't always recorded, like in this prayer here. Although at other times we've heard God the Father speak, like at the baptism of Jesus, there were audible words that said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And he said the same thing at the Mountain of Transfiguration with all the bright lights. They had this big voice come and say, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." God the Father speaking, but in this story, in this time, you don't hear those words. We hear the words of Jesus. "Abba, Father, please, please, don't make me have to do this." He knew what was in front of him. It was completely clear. He had told his disciples, I'm going to have to die. And I'm going to suffer. Please, please, he asks three times, is there another way? The other side of the conversation, do we hear the Father say, no? No. There is no other way. It seems that's his answer. There is no other way. No, you can't not do this. So wait a minute. If you're interacting with this at all, you should argue with me at this point a little bit. Didn't Jesus say he could do, we could ask anything? Didn't he say that? Didn't he say we could move mountains? Yeah. And even in verse 53 of Matthew 26, Jesus reminds his friends when they try to rescue him from the soldiers, that was just before they ran away, he reminded them, he said, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Which, by the way, on Wednesday we calculated was 72,000, right? That's what, 72,000 angels. Jesus, it's a number. He could have had them right there. Do you not think I can't ask my Father? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way, he asks. The scriptures. God's plan. God's will. How else could it happen? Yes, here's the rest of the prayer. The one Jesus taught his disciples to pray. The one he'd been practicing. The one he'd been living. The one he'd been teaching. Not my will, but your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It's right there. And this is the best part. Can you hear it? The other side of the conversation. The gentle voice of Abba Father. Yes, he says. Yes, my will has been done. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the story unfolds into the most dramatic, amazing picture of God loving us. Thank you. Isn't that incredible? Yes, God says, this is my Son who pleases me. This is what prayer is. It is not what we want. Sometimes he says no to that. Now, I have a whole list of things I want. I don't want to suffer. I don't want my friends to suffer. I don't want my family to suffer. I want my congregation to thrive and enjoy knowing God and living out their Jesus-filled lives in and amongst the people of Dauphin. That's what I want. That sounds good. I like it. I want it. There's good things that we want. And sometimes I plead and I ask three times, maybe even more, and I cry and I say, please, please. Is there no other way to do what's happening here? Do we have to go through this? Now this is the battle. It's waged in secret. It's waged behind doors, in the dark, alone with God. And this is the battle that determines the war, the outcome of the war. It's been noted that in prayer we fight the battle between a wrong desire and a right one. Our desire might seem right to us at the time, so right that we plead and we cry. But Jesus has taught us what right desire is. He preached it, he told stories about it, and he lived it by example. Right desire is wanting God's will, trusting, placing our will under his, trusting his will to be better. Jesus wanted what God wanted. Now this is what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. It is to pray this prayer. Not as something memorized that gives us some imagined points, but something we live in good times and in bad. In your bulletin, you will find the version that I read this morning from the New International Version with the added little ending, which isn't really added. It was just in one of the manuscripts that got put in, so it's actually in the footnote of the NIV, the glorious ending to that. Most of you are past grade one and have this memorized, I would trust. Usually in a group like this, you don't have to put it up there. You don't need words in front of you. You know this. And if you don't, you know the person beside you will say that first line of the next, right? Because if I asked any of you to lead it, you might get a little nervous and forget that line. But here we have it in front of us. And in closing today, instead of a song, I believe that what we should do is read this together. It's not a private prayer. If it were private, it would say, "My Father in heaven." It's not private. It's to be said together. It's to be prayed together. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. We're going to pray it three times. The first time, I'd like you to pray it quietly but clearly so you can hear each other. Then the second time, I'm going to read it. And then the third time, I'm going to ask us to stand and say it together. Our Father is here, and he loves us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand together. And just before we pray this, can you look at the person beside you somewhere and say, I believe he's here, if you do? You know, encourage them, remind them. He's here, and he's listening to us. He is. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.